Great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise God. Man, God is so good in the house. So thankful for his hand of protection up on him, my family, as we traveled a lot these last couple weeks. So good to be back in the house of the Lord together. Praise God to celebrate his goodness. My goodness. Let's stand this morning. Let's just reach over and shake hands with somebody that maybe you haven't shook hands with in a while. Let's get loosened up in the house. There's no telling what the Lord wants to do in this place, but he works better in a unified situation. My, I feel his presence already moving this morning. Praise God. We want to welcome you this morning. If you're a visitor, we're certainly glad that you came to be a part of our services today at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. We've got great things that's happening around here, and I believe even greater things are going to happen today in this place. Praise God. You know that the weather. How many's been enjoying this weather? Isn't it great that we got this good weather? It's not hot, it's not cold. It's just right. You know, we won't get to take advantage of that very long, so you better get everything done while you can. If you enjoy this time of year, you better go look at the trees, because the time will pass when it won't be there. It'll be get cold. And I was thinking this morning, you know, we're coming in here to the house of the Lord, and there's a season, a time for everything. But we're in the house of worship this morning, the house of prayer. And I don't want to miss an opportunity, because we don't know how many more times we have like this, right? Where we can come together. And if you look at a sailboat sitting out there in the water and the wind is blowing, and they don't have no sails up, they ain't doing no good. Doesn't matter how many times we come to this place. If we don't get our sails up and take advantage of what's going on in this place, we don't take advantage of the wind and the power of God's Spirit that's moving, we're just wasting our time. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this place, and I believe he wants to move in the hearts and lives of each one here this morning. Hallelujah. And he wants to give you power to live, power to overcome. We're thankful to have a great praise team that's coming to lead us in worship this morning. Why don't y'all join in with them and just praise God. Let's just worship the King of Kings this morning and just see what God will do in our midst this morning. How about that? Praise God. Y'all worship with them this morning.
Show me one thing you can't do. when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
United Fellowship. It's going to be held at 6 p.m. at Magel's Grill with a special speaker, Sister Mally Hood. This coming Wednesday, November the 19th, is U-Turn Friendsgiving. Friendsgiving, that sounds good. U-Turn Friendsgiving, that's this coming Wednesday. Tuesday, November 25th, Thanksgiving Needs Campaign and Event. It's going to be held by the UPC Outreach Alliance, which is our church, you, that's us. It's sponsoring a community needs campaign, and they're taking donations of winter items, blankets, socks, jackets, and gloves. There's some bins set up out there in the foyer to distribute those items. Also, the campaign's going to start. It's already started on the 2nd, but it ends on the 23rd. And so sign up to serve on that. It's going to be Tuesday, November 25th. Does anyone have an idea of what time that's going to start on Tuesday? Okay, we'll get that information later. Tuesday, November 25th. On Wednesday, there will be November 26th. There's going to be no Wednesday evening service the week of Thanksgiving. Also, Saturday, December 6th, there's going to be a Christmas banquet at the RL at 5 p.m. at the RL Meyer Center. Please go to the greeter's desk in the foyer to sign up and purchase tickets for that. It's RSVP required by Sunday, November 30th. It's $12 per person, and that's for ages six and up. That's where the charge is for those that are six and above. Food and entertainment, we're going to have Bunch and Breeze. How many of you ever heard of that Bunch and Breeze? Is anybody, y'all afraid to raise your hands? I ain't taking up an offering. Bunch and Breeze, they're really talented comedians. You will really enjoy that. Even if the meal doesn't taste good, you'll enjoy Bunch and Breeze. But I got full confidence in this meal. We're going to have, I think there was notice that it's going to be hamburger steak. If you've already filled out your card, it's not ham steak, it's hamburger steak, which is really good. It's really good. And then it's also grilled chicken. You have those two items to choose from. And I know the cooks there, it's really good. It's going to be catering that for us. Everyone is welcome for that. Please come and be a part of that at the R.L. Meyer Center. Praise God. All right, it says free here. Everyone is welcome to get things at the R.L. Meyer Center that are left over from the garage sale. There's free items out there for those who would like to take part of that. Please come and be a part of that. Let's ask our ushers to come. Immediately after the service today, you can run over there and grab. You get first, the first one there gets the first choice if it's unlocked. All right. So thankful for God's goodness in the house this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand. Y'all getting quiet on me. Let's give the Lord. God is so good in this place. Praise God. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to give into your kingdom. Lord, we just pray for the needs of this offering. Lord, we pray for each individual here today, God, that you would provide, Lord, and strengthen and bless each life, each family. Lord, and we just pray for the bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all give to the Lord this morning. Praise God.
I'm going to give a quick testimony. The Lord has laid this on my heart the past few services, and I've not done it, but it's been over 20 years ago, and that's a testimony in itself. Over 20 years ago that my older brother was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. They rushed him to the emergency room. He had a collapsed lung, and he got the worst news ever. And he was a young dad, had three small children, and, you know, they told us there was no hope. This tumor was wrapped around his lungs, both of them, and there was no surgical intervention that could be done. And so I don't know if my mom knew it at the same time, but simultaneously she went into the hospital bathroom and I went into a room, and she pulled down her long uncut hair and I pulled down my hair, and we both declared, God, we've been faithful to you. Be faithful to us. He'll heal my brother, heal my son. And we went back the next day to get the news of what the, you know, plan was going to be. And the doctors called us all in. There's been a mistake. It's not stage 4. It's some other rare thing that could be handled with medication. And I say all that to say this, the same God who did that so many years ago, he's still here. If you're up against a wall, if you're up against opposition, the healing God, he's still here. He's still doing miracles to this day.
I won't be distracted. Moments, be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. I won't be shaken, even when I'm shaking. Having done all I can do, I still will stand. And I will worship. Yes, I will worship. I will face whatever comes with lifted hands. I will face whatever comes with lifted hands. This will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today.
Oh yes, He is.
If you're not done moving, then I'm not done waiting. If you're not done
praise to heaven and thank the Lord for that this morning. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We don't need another reason, God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, reach out to him right now. The Holy Ghost is moving in this room this morning. Come on, let's worship him right now. He deserves all praise. He deserves all glory today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great God he is. Amen. What a great God he is. What a great friend. Man, he's so good to us. Amen. God bless you for being in service on a Sunday morning. Amen. Aren't you thankful you can feel his power here? Amen. God is so good. And we never want to take that for granted today. Amen. If you're a guest, amen, God bless you for being in service this morning. Our prayer is that God would touch you, encourage you, and always bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm turning this morning to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, going to read verse 33. Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." The Lord is saying here, peace doesn't cancel tribulation. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's a given. It's going to come. But God said, "I need you to be of good cheer because I've already gained the victory over this world. And you can have peace through me, in me, because I am victorious over death, hell, and the grave." I want to preach the title of a song Jaron Davis wrote back in the 80s, simply entitled, "I Know the Peace Speaker." Amen. I don't just know him, I've experienced him. Amen. He's been a friend to me. And I want to sing the chorus, that old song this morning. Anyone know that song, "I Know the Peace Speaker"? What a beautiful song. Give me that 4 or 5, babe. Amen. It simply says, "I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by name. And I know the peace speaker. He controls the winds and rain. Have to obey. I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by name." Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. Let's sing that one more time. "And I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by name. I'm so glad I know the peace speaker. He controls the winds and rains. And when he says peace, be still. Have to obey. I'm so glad I know the peace speaker. I know him by name. Aren't you thankful you know who he is? Woo! God, have mercy. Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Our world, as we know it, is in dire need of a revival of prayer. Our world, as we know it, is surrounded by very evil forces. It seems every day, if you read the news, you hear of violence happening all across our world. It seems like peaceful days turn into horror more frequently across our land. The world, as we know it, deals with people who feel nothing but hopelessness. People who live their lives depressed, who feel like they're being sucked into a dark hole with no way out. We live in a world, and I won't belabor the point this morning, I've preached about it many times, but we live in a world where some feel that suicide is the only way out. Statistics show, and I'll be brief, but I just want to hit this. Statistics show that suicide is the 12th leading cause of death in the United States. In 2020, 45,979 Americans died by suicide. In 2020, there was 1.2 million attempted suicide attempts. And it all comes back to that word we call peace. People think that they cannot find it. People believe that there is no way out for them. So people are driven to do extreme and unordinary things. People live lives that are promiscuous. People live lives that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I'll add even prescription medication. It's not because they're simply bad people, but it's because they're searching for something to mask the pain, and they're looking for something to give them a little bit of peace on the inside. They're looking for something to numb, if you will, the feelings of hopelessness. Even in the church world, there are those who are good people, but they struggle with past mistakes. They struggle with past regrets. They struggle with not feeling good enough or not being able to live up to a certain standard that they've put on themselves, that God didn't put on them, but they did it. And as a result, condemnation comes in and it steals away their peace. It ebbs away. It erodes away like a river does against rock over many years. It begins to erode away at the joy and the peace that they once had. They fight daily just to maintain. They fight feelings of worthlessness and rejection and insecurity and loneliness. But on this Sunday morning in the middle of November, I want to tell us today that I really do know the peace speaker, and I don't just know him, but as the song says, I know his name. His name we know is Jesus. That great prophet Isaiah would write under a heavy anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he would tell us about the God of peace when he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Gideon would be getting instruction from the Lord that he would be the deliverer of Israel, and he is scared to death because he's a weak insecure man. But after God got through showing and telling Gideon who he really was and how God saw him, the Bible records in Judges chapter 6 and verse 23, the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then the Bible says Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom, which is interpreted, "The Lord is peace." And this morning, it's my job, I believe, to remind someone that the peace speaker is here this morning. And not only do I know his name, but you need to be assured today that he knows your name. You need to understand before you leave this house this morning that the God of all eternity, the God of all glory, he knows exactly where you are today. He knows exactly your name. He's got you zeroed in this morning. He sent this preacher yesterday driving back from the lake about 12:30. The Lord arrested my soul and said, "You need to preach that I am the peace speaker in somebody's life. You need to let them know that I'm the God." God have mercy. "I'm the only God who can put peace in the middle of their storm. I'm the only God that can put peace in the middle of their life that seems to be rocking on the waves of fear and doubt and worry and unbelief. I am the peace speaker. I am the God of all eternity. I am the God who knows exactly." Heard a story some time back of a lady who, if I understood her correctly, she was new to the faith, and she made a comment that one service she was sitting at the chairs, and there was a lady in front of her who God had used mightily as a prophetess, as a woman who heard from the Lord. And she said in that service, this lady turned to me and said, "The Lord wants you to know that you are a flower in his garden." She said, "I heard the words and I felt, man, that's amazing. God wants me to know that I'm special. I'm one of his beautiful flowers in his garden." She said, "And just like human flesh," she said, I went home and I said, "But Lord, I know I'm a flower, but man, the rose is the most beautiful thing in the garden. I want to be a rose in your garden." She said, "I was being selfish, probably shouldn't have said that, but I did." And the following service, she said, that same lady came back to me and said, "I don't know what it is, but the Lord wants you to know, not only are you a flower in his garden, but you're a rose in his garden." What I'm telling you is this, is God knows your name. God knows exactly where you are. Somebody up in this room, you slipped up in here and you thought God forgot about you. I'm here to tell you, God didn't forget about you. God's got you in the palm of your hand. God have mercy. The peace speaker sent me to tell you, you are a rose in his garden. You are precious in his sight. Oh, I feel a million directions about right now. Because the devil, he's a master. He's a liar, Brother Jones. He'll paint everything you think you are, worthless, horrible, nobody, reject, got nothing to offer, should have done this but didn't do it. Now you're kicking yourself for 20 years of what you feel like are past mistakes, but the Holy Ghost sent me to tell somebody, you arrived right on time. God's got your number. God put you in this house for such a time as this to let you know what you thought were mistakes, God's going to turn it around for your good. What you thought was the end, God said it's just the beginning. Hallelujah. He ain't forgot about you. Oh God, I'm helping somebody right now. It ain't me, but it's Jesus who wants somebody to know who you walked in thinking that you're nothing but a thorn, that you're nothing but a reject and a mistake, and you wonder, does he really know me? I'm telling you, he knows you, and not only does he know you, he wants you to know, I'm here to hold you close to me today. I'm here to pull you in today. You feel like I shoved you away. I didn't shove you away. My arms were wide open. And
and my arms are saying, come unto me, all of you who are heavy in your heart, who are heavy in your spirit, and I will give you rest. I wish I could adequately describe to you just who this peace speaker is. I'm a weird preacher. I sometimes practice on the walls before I preach to y'all. I do. Now, I don't scream and act crazy, but I sometimes practice. So at 5:30 this morning, I'm walking back right here, and I said, Lord, you know there'll be a lot of folks in this room today, and there's lots of folks who need to feel you, experience you. God, you know who's going to be here. I don't know who's going to be here, Lord, but you already know. And I'm walking down that center aisle, and I'm trying to practice. How could I preach the peace of God? How could I explain to this great group of believers just how good you are? How can I explain that you're not just some far out being? You're not just some far out deity who cannot be touched, who cannot be experienced. How can I explain, God? How can I get the people to grasp that you want to give them inner peace that supersedes the outside turmoil and the trouble on their life? I don't know if I have all the words today. I don't know if I can. I know I don't have all the words. There really are no words to adequately describe who he is. But I want to tell you just a few words this morning that this peace speaker I speak to you today about, he's not, and I don't want to be misunderstood or take this for wrong what I'm going to say. I respect all people's beliefs, but we know that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. We understand that today, that he's not just a person. He's not just a second person in a deity, but he is God manifest in the flesh. He's not just some external force, as some religions have made him to be, who has no name. The Apostle Paul, he addressed this on Mars Hill when he walked up and he spoke to those Greek philosophers, those great men of education who were so smart they couldn't find God. It says the Bible told him, I noticed when I walked in your city, there was an altar to the unknown God, but I know the name of the unknown God that you're praying to today. I know the one that you're seeking after, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's not a ball of energy that has no understanding or feelings. But ladies and gentlemen, he is God. He is the most personable God. When you're hurting, the peace speaker is hurting. Isaiah recorded speaking to Israel, but the principle applies still to us as modern day believers who are now people who are a part of the household of faith, because we were grafted in, the Bible says, to that olive branch, that tree called Christ. And he said in Isaiah 63:9 at the beginning, in all their distresses, he too was distressed. This peace speaker I'm speaking of this morning is, again, he's not a faraway deity who only shows up every now and again. But Isaiah let us know, the Lord speaking, fear not, for I am with you. Isaiah 41:10. I want to read to you this morning. I tried to research. My brain couldn't conjure up the words how I thought I could adequately describe. But I read Dr. William Plummer, a brilliant man who wrote a piece on the glorious Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to take about 2 or 3 minutes. And I just want to explain to you and prayerfully give you some context and some structure just to who it is you serve. Because so many times in the church, we don't really know Jesus. We feel Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. But we don't really understand that wrapped up in the man Jesus was God. Wrapped up in the man Jesus was someone so great and wonderful and splendid that we could spend all of eternity. As a matter of fact, we'll spend all of eternity trying to figure out just how great God is, just how good God is. Dr. Plummer said this, and I quote, Jesus Christ is wonderful. To his people, he's altogether lovely. He is their advocate, the angel of the covenant. He is the author and finisher of faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beloved, the shepherd, and the bishop of souls, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the bright and morning star, the brightness. He is the express image of God. He is their creator. He's the captain. He's the counselor. He's the covenant cornerstone. He's the chiefest among 10,000. He is to them as the dew, the door into the fold. He is a diadem, a day star. He is a deliverer and the desire all nations. He ranks in generations of pious men. In their eyes, he is the elect Emmanuel. He is the everlasting Father, the eternal life. He is a fountain of living waters to thirsty souls, of joy to troubled ones, of life to dying ones. He is the foundation on which his people with safety build their hopes of heaven. He is the Father of eternity. He is the first and the last, the first fruits, the firstborn among many brothers, and the first begotten from the dead. To his chosen, he is as the most fine gold. He's a guide. He's a governor. He's a glorious Lord. He's God, the true God over all, God blessed forever. He is the head of the church, the help, the hope, the husband, the heritage, the habitation of his people. He is the horn of their salvation, and he rides upon the heavens. He is the Jehovah of all armies. He's the inheritance. He is the judge and king of his people. He is their light, their life, their leader, their lawgiver, their atoning lamb, the lily of the valley, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the master. He's the mediator. He's the minister of the true sanctuary, which the Lord pitched and not man. He is the mighty God of Isaiah, the morning star of John, the Michael of Daniel, the Melchizedek of David and Paul, and the Messiah of all the prophets. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is both the root and the offspring of David. He is the peace, the prince, the priest, the prophet, the purified, the potentate, the propitiation, the physician, the power of God, the Passover of all saints. He is the rock, the refuge, the ruler, the ransom, the refiner, the redeemer, the righteousness, and the resurrection of all humble souls. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the strength, the shield, the surety, the shepherd, the Shiloh, the sacrifice, the sanctuary, the salvation, the sanctification, and the Son of righteousness of all believers. He is that holy thing that was born of Mary. He is the truth, the treasure, the teacher, the temple, and the tree of life. He is the way, the well of salvation, the word of God, the wisdom of God, the faithful witness, the wonderful. His person is one, but his natures are two. He is both human and divine. He's finite and infinite, created and uncreated. He was before Abraham, though not born until long after Abraham. He died, yet he is alive forevermore. He has the arm of God and the heart of a brother. None loves like him, none pities like him, and none saves like him. It is no marvel that children love him, the saints praise him, the martyrs die for him, the sorrowing long for him, the humble trust in him, the penitent pour out their tears before him, and the believing lay hold fast of him. His frown shakes the heavens, his smile gives life, his presence converts dungeons into palaces, his blood cleanses all from sin, his righteousness is the white robe of the redeemed. If you would be safer, wise or holy or happy or useful or strong or victorious, look to him. Look to nobody but Jesus. He is the glorious, wonderful Savior. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. I know the peace speaker. I wish we'd stand right now and give God a little bit of praise for who he is. Come on, give God praise. He's great. You may be seated. He is that peace speaker. He's not just a cute friend.
Hear me again. He is God walking beside you, my good brother, on a day-to-day basis. He is God who is there for whatever you have need of. And he is the one that says there's greater news than me being with you, Sister Taylor. He said, but not only will I be with you, he told him in John, but I will be in you. If you're born of the water and of the Spirit, the peace speaker said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Not only will I surround you, but I'll be inside of you. When the dark is dark, the night is so dark that you can't even see in front of your face, there'll be something on the inside of your soul that says, put your trust in the unseen hand of a holy God who knows all, sees all, understands all. His name is Jesus. Hello, Johnny James said it years ago. He said, I don't care what you do with John's name, but you best not mess with my Jesus name, because everything's wrapped up in the name. Everything you need is locked in the name. And the key to the door is praise. The key to the door is worship. The key to the door says, I praise God when I don't feel God. I worship God when I can't find God. And my worship becomes a highway. My praise becomes a highway. It lets me into the supernatural. I know the peace speaker, and I know him by name today. And while I can't give you Holy Ghost peace that only comes to your obedience to the word, I do today though, in the name of Jesus, I want to speak life over someone today. I want to speak peace over your life. I want to speak peace over your home. I want to speak peace over your marriage. I want to speak peace over your troubled life. I want to speak peace over all the broken pieces that you said, can't nobody put me back together. Your own, yes he can. Jesus wants to put you back together. I speak peace over your mind today. I speak life over your soul. When the great Atlantic cable was laid, the first message that flashed across it was a message from Victoria to the President of the United States of America, and it said what the angels proclaimed: peace on earth and goodwill toward men. It was the first announcement we know at the birth of Christ, when he came onto the pages of history, that the angels rolled back the curtains of heaven, a song they had been rehearsing for no doubt thousands of years, that he was here finally. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. We understand that peace is the first great universal need of everybody in this room and to all of mankind. When you read this verse, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, it's not saying instant perfect world peace starting that particular night, but it's giving you the hope that there's one coming. There's one on the scene now. The Bible called him the second Adam. The first Adam messed it all up in the garden. You and I ain't even supposed to be here tonight. We're supposed to be in the first Garden of Eden, but here we are, thanks to him. But the second Adam came, and he gave us a way of escape. And that second Adam came saying, listen, I'm coming now as the Savior. I'm coming now as the healer. I'm coming now as the deliverer. And when you enter into relationship with me, there will be a peace that comes on the inside of you. So peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That's why tonight, today, I'm preaching about 150 folks walking through life. Some of you in hell up to here. Some of you in storms so deep you don't even want to talk about it. And you walk in with a smile on your face, not because you're trying to be fake, but because you know who it is that anchors the ship. You know who it is who walks upon, God have mercy, you know who it is that walks the deck of the ship. When the peace speaker, hallelujah, when the peace speaker
stepped on the scene, everything changed. When the peacemaker went to the cross and died, everything changed. How so? You can now repent and come boldly to the throne of grace. You can now crucify your flesh and die. Everything changed. Everything changed when the peace speaker was buried in a borrowed tomb, because he understood from the beginning of the ages that he would not need that tomb but for 3 days. But he had to fulfill the prophetic word that he would be laid in the ground, and 3 days later he'd come up out of that ground. So therefore, I can preach today and tell you the peace speaker, everything changed when he came, because now you get to go down buried with Christ Jesus in the only saving name of Jesus. That puts the blood over your life. That puts the blood over your mind. And everything changed when the peace speaker rose on the third day, signaling the church to be that he would be filling us and raising us to new life with him. And he said, if this same spirit that dwelt in Christ, if it also dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies, meaning when they lay you in the ground. He said, if the peace speaker has been living in your life, there'll come a day that the ground won't be able to hold you anymore. There'll come a day when the ground can't keep you there. Why? Because he was the forerunner. He was the one who Revelation said he was slain from the foundations of the earth. He was the one who stepped on the pages and said, there'll come a day in November in Paris, Texas, in 2025, when a young man, a woman, will walk up in this house so needing peace, and I'll let them know, I've done walked that lonely road for you a long time ago, and there's a new way for you today. You can come back home. You can come back home and make it all right. Paul said, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Isaiah said, the Lord, he'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. The last of the verse is the most important part of the verse, is because he trusteth in thee. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You understand, as I bring this to a close, then, to experience the peace of God on a consistent basis, you have to have the mind of God on a consistent basis. Paul said, for to be carnally minded is enmity against God. It's death, he said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Don't cast your cares on things that can't give you life back. Don't cast your cares on people who don't have your best interest at heart. Don't let the adversary get you to believe that God doesn't want to hear all about it. He wants to hear when you say, Lord, I can't take anymore. He wants to hear when you say, like Elijah the prophet said, Lord, it's enough. He wants to hear when I see Ruth and I see Naomi coming back, and they said, look, here she comes. And she said, don't, whatever you, they said, hey, here she said, don't call me that. Just call me Mara, because I'm bitter. She said, I went away full and I came back empty. He wants to hear all of that, because in the end of the story, Boaz and Ruth are going to have a baby. Oh, God, hear me, somebody right now, hear me. And the Bible, the scriptures say, I ain't got time to preach it today. The Bible says, if you read it in the King James, you can however you want to read, I don't care. It says, when she was holding that baby again, Naomi, the Bible says, the women around her said, look, God has given her a son.
What I'm saying is this: what she lost in that nasty, horrible desert place, God said, I'm going to put Jesus Christ in your bloodline. I'm going to, God help me right now. I'm telling someone right now, you felt like God walked out and left you. He did not leave you. He's going to give you more in the end than you had in the beginning. Come on, somebody, I'm telling you right now, I know you lost some things in Moab, but Christ is with you.
Come to the piano, please. Let's all stand. Come on, lift your hands to heaven right now. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, God, we know the peace speaker today. Thank you, God, we know who you are today, God. Hallelujah. Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The psalmist said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't give you peace, but he is the author of peace. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints, one of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul said, is that fruit of peace. Preacher, I know you preached, screamed at us for 35 minutes about knowing the peace speaker, but how can we have personal peace? How, it seems like it, there's days, and hear me, let me just help someone right now. It's never a sin, it's never wrong to be honest with God. I've met people who are seemingly afraid to tell God what they're really feeling. Afraid, I'm afraid if I do, God's going to be mad. No, he's not. That's not true. God said, again, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. I'm not talking about putting stuff in God's face and blaming God. No. I'm talking about in a sincere, honest way. God, this seems to be trying its best to rob me of every bit of peace I got. Seems there's days, God, when I can't seem to conjure up the peace that I need to feel. Lord, what do I do, God? How do I conquer this? And Paul gave us the answer. There's four steps, and I'll close with these four steps. Paul said in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Here we go. First step, he said, was be careful for nothing. That simply means don't worry about anything. It does not mean that you won't have days where you worry about situations. He's not saying it like that. But there's a process here. Don't worry about anything. And this is why I want you to pray about everything. When you're worrying about everything, go pray about everything. Step three, he said, let your requests be made known to God. Tell God what you need. God, this is killing me. I've had days where I've walked in this church, other churches, where I've been preaching or been in prayer time, and I've told the Lord these words. I can't take much more of this. Enemy's trying to fight my mind, trying to fight my spirit, trying to weigh me down. What do? I need some peace. And I can't even explain it. It wouldn't be 30 minutes later, and I felt this sure steadfastness, Brother Dickie. It like it was an anchor for the soul. I said, that's what I was waiting on. I was just waiting on you to realize you ain't got it all together. And I'm really right there in the middle, and I'm just waiting on you. Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care? We're about to die. They're talking to God. And they're telling God, don't you know we're fixing to die?
They're telling God, I know you just, well, I say I know Jesus rebuked them, said you forgot about it, but they just experienced 5,000 being fed. They just seen the miraculous. Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat. Finally, one of them had the nerve to go wake up Jesus. The other day, Jesus, tell Brother Ronnie, Brother Ronnie, Sunday school. He said, I'm walking in the Jesus shop in Branson. I said, well, tell Jesus, I said, hey. Somebody, Brother Coy, handed out someone a little bit Jesus at Trunk or Treat. We got Jesus all up in our house, amen. Sometimes he's lost, but he's there somewhere. But one of them had the nerve to go wake up Jesus. I'm sure it had to be, if you study the history of the disciples, their ages were between about 17 and about 28. There were some young guys, immature, their frontal lobe hadn't developed yet. Man, it's hierarchy. This is funny though. You're reading John when the Bible talks about on the first day of the week when Jesus was resurrected. John puts in there on purpose, and I outran him to the grave. Cocky young men. Had to slip it in for all of us to see. I'm faster than him. But one of them, maybe it was Peter, I don't know. He was the most bold, vocal. He'd cuss you out and then love Jesus the next breath. Come on, somebody. I ain't saying you should be cussing every day. You probably shouldn't cuss at all, but anyway. And the Bible says that one of them woke up Jesus. And Jesus was pretty ticked off. He said, you're a stubborn people. You're a faithless people. Now these are the guys he's trusting to carry on the church. And he's rebuking his kids. Have you lost your minds? Did you not just see what I just did? But being that he's God, he didn't leave them there. Bible said he walked to the bow of the ship and he said, peace, be still. Anyone know what the next part says? And there was a great calm. And they marveled. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey. I'm going to tell you who he is. He's God. And he walked up in this room this morning to walk on top of somebody's troubled sea and to let you know I am the God who saw you rolling in your bed in tears, wondering where are you? Oh God, I feel it right now. He's not coming to rebuke you today. He's not coming to scold you today, but he wants to grab you in his arm and tell you, I saw you crying. I saw you hurting. I saw you doubled over the chair, wondering, good God Almighty, wondering, would you ever come through, Jesus? I'm telling you, that peace speaker sent this Brad Davis, this 39-year-old preacher, to tell you, I'm here. I never left you. I know you felt like I walked out on you, but I didn't. I've come to speak peace back into your soul today. I come to give you hope again today. Can we pray right now? God, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, somebody reach out to him right now. Come on, help me pray right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost wants to break in someone right now. Come on. It ain't got to be a scream. It's just got to be a heartfelt prayer. God, I'm in need today. That preacher's preaching to me, God. I need some of that peace today, God. I've experienced it before, God, but it's been so long. I need that Holy Ghost, God. Woo! I needed God to roll in my soul again, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, someone, that's it. Come on. Come on, he hears the heart's cry right now. Come on, he's going to give you strength today. Come on, you've been needing strength in your soul today. Come on, you've been needing strength today. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Come on. The Holy Ghost wants to give you peace today. Fear brings torment, he said. Come on, someone. God wants to give you peace today in your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, that's it. Come on. Come on, the Holy Ghost is ministering right now.
That's it, church. Come on, the Lord's ministering right now to somebody today. Come on, he's walked to right where you are right now. Come on, I rebuke that tormenting spirit of fear over you right now. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, devil. Come on, I rebuke the tormenting spirits of condemnation, the tormenting spirits of guilt. I speak life over you today. I speak peace over you today. God, only you can do it, Lord. I speak peace today in the name of Jesus. Come on, would you open your hearts to him right now? Come on, I know we're lingering here, but let's just open our hearts to him right now. Help me, Lord. Come on, someone, I feel it. Help me trust you again, God. Help me trust you again, God. Help me, Lord, to trust you again, Lord. I've wavered in my trust of you, Lord. I've wavered in my trusting of you, God. Help me, Lord, to trust you again. Come on, when you trust God again, peace is going to flood your soul again. Come on. Don't doubt the Lord. God wants to give you peace today. God wants to give you joy today. God wants to give it to you full, unspeakable, and full of glory today. Come on, as they begin to sing, these altars are open. Let's come pray today. Come on, if you need peace in your life, come on. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It just means you need God to give you strength today. Come on. Come on, coming to the altar is a good thing. It's not a bad thing today. It's a good thing to come and pray. It's a good thing to lift our hands up to Jesus and worship him in spirit and in truth. Come on, he's the peace speaker. He's the peace speaker today. He's the peace speaker today. That's it, church. That's it, church. Come on, pray out. Come on, cry out to him today. I need you, God. I need your peace, oh God. I need your joy, oh God. I need your love, oh God. I need your mercy, oh God. That's it, church. Come on. He sees it all. He knows all about it today. He controls the winds and waves. Come on, he's finna speak peace over somebody right now.
Hallelujah. I know the peace speaker. Father, we love you today, God. Thank you for your presence in this house. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this great group of born-again believers. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, be with us. Strengthen us, Lord. Speak peace, I pray, in the midst of troubled storms. Be with us, I pray, as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Before we're dismissed, I want us to pray today for a couple things. Brother Dickie's son, Jonathan, Sister Dickie was involved in a bad car wreck yesterday, praying for him. And also Sister Connie Iyer had a pretty bad fall and hit her head, and she needs prayer this morning. And let's pray for these two needs right now, could we? Jesus, we love you, Lord. You see Jonathan today. We ask you in the name of Jesus to touch the body. God, touch the soul, I pray, God. Speak, Lord. Minister, God. Let your presence, I pray, oh God, go where we can, God. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus for touching him today, Lord. You see, Sister Connie, I ask you in the name of Jesus, God, give her strength in her body, God. Touch, Lord, heal today, I pray. Help her in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Greg, Morton, Greg, can we pray for you right quick? Can I pray for you? Paul, would you mind praying, put your hands on him, Brother Jerry? Let's pray for Greg this morning. He needs a touch in his body. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, God, you touch his body today, Lord. I pray for the kidneys today, Lord. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, heal, God. Do a miracle in his body, God. Show him your power. God, you're a miracle worker, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus to do a work today, Lord. Thank you, God, by faith for healing his body. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. And we love you so much. God bless you for coming today. Again, if you're a guest, thanks for coming. We appreciate you. Amen. Don't forget 5:30 prayer.